Just a note to start the catch up. If things start to sound a little bit steamy, or yeah, there's a bit of sizzle to what you hear today, it's because the lights have gone out in the studio and it's some mood lighting that's been going on all day.
This is ridiculous.
Slightly odd. You look outside and it's blazing sunshine.
But in here, it's very sexy.
Going off.
I'll tell you what's sexy. Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, joined us. It's a bit of fun.
Over in India, pressing the flesh.
Also revealing lots about Ed Cavalier this week. Started softly, gently about your eating habits.
Now listen, you're trying to out him and eventually you'll be outing me, so we're not happy. Can we say that this morning we outed you as a plain talker, one of the worst things you can be?
According to whom?
According to Ed and I. If we sat next to you, there would be real trouble.
No chatty, because and then we went to the, you'll hear some people talking about it in our phone poll too. There was a heated debate going on about whether you talk to folks that you're on a plane next to.
Well, the thing is, one minute you're talking to them, next minute they're digging you up in a shallow grave.
That's true, isn't it?
That's what happens.
Pardon? What a leap.
That's what happens. Okay.
What a just because I, so eventually I'm going to die.
You'll disappear. You'll probably disappear if you don't stop talking to people on the plane.
Cool. True.
That's sorry true. To say.
It's not actual research, is it?
No. Thank God.
No.
It's just the world according to Marto.
There's a lot of people have caught a plane. No one saw them again.
It's true, mate.
Lost.
No,
TV show Lost.
Well, no. Deliverance. No. Don't know what's it called. Alive. That Brazilian.
That was a real thing.
That was a real thing. But
the
some
soccer
of them...
team. That was terrible.
How do you know the bloke you're sitting next to is not Ivan Milat? Oh, you don't.
Well, he's in jail.
Yeah, but
I reckon I'm all good.
Ivan, pretty safe.
Ivan, what are you doing?
Oh, going to another jail.
Off I go. Have a nice catch up, you guys.
For Brisbane Lions, kids go free day this Sunday.
What a treat. Every week he makes time to speak to us. Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, normally coming to us from Point Piper. But good morning to you, Rich Uncle Mal.
I'm coming to you this morning, Ed, Robin and Marto from India. It's a surprisingly clear line, isn't it? Because I'm coming to you from a call centre.
How was the welcome? We saw some of it on the TV. You looked a little bit uncomfortable.
Well, I'm surprised you say that. When they ask you to take off your shoes to go into the Ashkenaam Temple, of course you do so. But I've had a wonderful welcome, full of pomp and ceremony at the Presidential Palace. It's nice to be treated with the respect I think a world leader is due, to be honoured with flowers laid at your feet rather than having a sausage roll launched at you from a ute in Maroubra. Yellow screening, you're a tool, Turnbull.
Yeah, so, right.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi and I have already had some very fruitful discussions, and Narendra said that he was very happy to hear that the Yatla pie shop is open again.
Yeah, thank you. He'd be excited about
that. That's how far the reputation of that pie shop spreads.
Wow. Now, before going to India, you visit Papua New Guinea.
Yes, just before we get off India, I have had some wonderful chats with Narendra Modi.
Oh, what have you been
about
discussing?
The untapped potential and the land of great promise. That's what I'm calling India for all Australians. We discussed trade, and I also asked him what the hell Virat Kohli's up to.
Yeah.
I mean,
good call.
I said to him, is that guy a bit radio rental, if you read? But yes, some of the favourite things that I've been doing since I've been there, We caught a Delhi metro and we took some selfies en route to the Ashkenaam Temple. Oh. We enjoyed some great meals together. Now, I'm not going to lower myself or the tone of your show and start making jokes about hot curries and suffering ring sting.
No.
So let's move on. Mind you, I did have a vindaloo last night that was hunt hot, so look out.
And what about Papua New Guinea? What's been happening there?
Well, Robbo, Papua New Guinea, I met the Prime Minister, Peter O'Neill. Peter O'Neill is such an incongruous name for a Papua, and I always think of Dave O'Neill. I expect some chubby comedian to meet me. We discussed Kokoda and our links through World War II, and being the closest of neighbours, and like some neighbours, we share issues like an easement or a fence or some branches coming over, difficulty parking in the street. Listen, the neighbour analogy got a little lost, to tell you the truth. But what we needed to talk about was the asylum seekers on Manus Island. Now, I don't know whether it was jet lag or I'd left my glasses behind, but I thought we were discussing contestants on Manus Island. I thought it was a new version of My Kitchen Rule.
Sounds good.
That's still unresolved, but maybe we could turn the asylum seeker exchange into a reality TV cooking show. Sorry, your souffle was dry, you're staying on Manu's Island. Which is punishment in itself, having to listen to that corny Frenchman bang on.
Well, all right. Come home soon. Australia's missing you. But is there a song that's stuck in your head this week, PM?
Well, there is. Love, it's a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Okay. I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Yes, so
it went down, 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 and the flames, they went high.
Yes.
And it burns, burns, burns. My ring of fire, Ed.
Wow.
Now, before
Thank
I go, I'd just like
yes.
to say the Triple M rocks North Lakes. Good on you, people. Get up and about.
Thank you, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM. Speak
Bye
to
now.
You soon.
Bye.
I wish I'd listened to Ed yesterday. He said,
Thank
check.
You.
On the yesterday morning during our show, you said, check out this thing going on that went on down the Gold Coast with the jet ski cops arresting a bloke. Oh, yeah, whatever. It's Monday. There's a lot of sport on, Ed. We don't want to talk about that. Well, here it is, front page of the Gold Coast Bulletin.
Okay, what happened?
Well, all right. So this bloke here, you see him, see this bloke here? Terry Peck, his name is, and he's an unemployed parolee. What does that mean, everybody?
He's out of jail.
Unemployed, so he's out of jail. But and on parole, but he doesn't have a job. That
yeah.
was his.
Hang on, hang on. But you're missing the main part of his CV,
which is
he's a hip hop star.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a rapper.
All right. So why are we talking about this guy? Because he did the runner after lunch, and well, first up, let's see what he had at lunch. You know, Ameris Brothers there at Fisherman's
yes,
Wharf.
Yes, beautiful.
Right? Yeah, and I know it always looks beautiful. Mm. I think I've eaten there once years ago. Here's what he had on his own, sitting on his own for lunch.
Two lobsters worth $195 each, a plate of baby octopus, 17 oyster shots and six Coronas. Police say he was still carrying two of the beer bottles when he got up from the table and ran away.
17 oyster shots. Man, he'd be titchy.
What's titchy?
Oh, well, you know, oysters are an aphrodisiac.
What else? Dippy, you mean.
Oh, do you think you
I didn't say that.
$621. $621 and walked out with two beers.
Good on him.
I don't mean to...
Jogged.
You've got to be careful what you say here, Robin, but it's hard to cast aspersions. But just to look at him, if you said to me, if I had a lineup of people and they said, look, here's Koshy, here's...
he's got more hair than Koshy.
Here's Frank Lowy. Here's,
what are they lined up
you know,
for?
Gina Reinhart, and then here's the unemployed parolee who wants to be a hip-hop star. If I just looked at them and you said, one of these people can't afford $600 worth of seafood...
Which one do you think it is?
I think I might have... I don't know what it is about the shorts he was wearing and the haircut, but I think I might have picked him.
He's got a mohawk.
He's got a mohawk.
Anyway, so at what stage? Is it after the first lobster? Is it after the 14th?
Yeah, but if you're going for two lobsters worth $195 each, that says to me that you are, you know, loading up and potentially ready
well,
to do something.
It got to a certain stage where Terry Peck, or as you did mention, he's a rap artist, T-Peck, he did the runner. He's bolted over the road, went over the main beach, and he was in the surf. So he's bolted through the little bit of bush there, you know, at main beach at the spit. He's over in the surf. The cops got, and this is where Ed pulled me in. He said, the cops are chasing this bloke. He's swimming with a jet ski, and they took a while to get him. All right, so he's lined up there. They finally let him out. They let him out of jail. They let him out of the watch house, and they said to him, mate, what were you up to?
Why did you leave the restaurant?
My friend was over at the beach and she was having a baby.
On the beach?
Yeah.
So you went to help her?
Yeah.
So you didn't dodge your $621 bill?
No.
So you're a good guy?
I am.
He said he lost his wallet.
What?
He would have gone back. He was going to go back, he said later. He was going to go back. So some friend was having a baby on the beach.
Okay, if you're going to make that up as a story, you better seriously have a newborn hidden somewhere. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they didn't say he said they had two beers in his pockets. They didn't say how many newborns he had sticking out of the top of the shorts. T-Pack, is that a newborn?
Yep. Victorian Uber drivers yesterday had a strike. I know it didn't impact on our lives, but they walked off the job to protest poor pay and working conditions. This is Uber drivers, people who choose to do this job. Is that the most useless strike you have ever heard in your life? Like those prisoners who go, not eating, going on a hunger strike.
Yeah, you go. Okay.
Who cares, Uber drivers? You're a little bonus in your own little world. Between 6:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. yesterday, they logged off.
Yeah, so no one could catch an Uber.
Well, that is self-defeating. Get stuffed.
Well, I would say, though, and I randomly check my bank accounts just to make sure that, you know, isn't that a 21st first world problem, but just to make sure that, you know, you're not being hacked or anything's going wrong and I know where my money's going.
Good idea,
and as I'm looking at it, and it is school holidays, I note that there are eight bills, one after the other, all Ubers. And I
turned it off.
I pulled the kids down and I said, "What is going on?" Now, their great defence was, "Oh, Mum, Uber just bills all at once." So they weren't Ubers one after the other.
They don't do that.
But you know, but based on what you just said, that they're underpaid, there was a $31, $18, $17, $17,
$17. And they all add up. I reckon Uber was doing me for $500 a month because the kids were using them. Ed saw it while daughter was overseas. She was catching Ubers in, you know, obviously shouting around. My dad's got, just put it on my dad's Uber account with her. She would have been in the car in the Uber. But Portugal, they were all over bloody Europe. That was how they were getting around late at night if they were bar hopping or whatever. Then you got sun and you got, wherever I'd $500 or $600. Uber have turned me off for the last, you'll notice that I don't like Uber. They turned us off about 4 months ago, said your payment method no longer. I don't know. Maybe Harry's done something, but.
Well, had a crack at someone.
No, he did make a complaint because one of them tried to run one of his mates over. An Uber guy tried to run one of his mates over one night.
Oh.
And ever since then, my payment, my credit card has been refused. Don't you reckon they're linked, those two incidents?
Yeah, I think they are.
So Uber can get stuff. That's why I thought I'd get up them. But anyway, that's personal.
But okay, so that's your Uber chat. But what about the other thing that I seem to find bills for on my phones are apps?
Oh, well,
here we go. What was that?
What's your app, mate? What's one of your favourite apps that Hilly put on and you can't get rid of?
$3.40 a month for the Kardashians.
Go, Hilly.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
I've never seen it.
I don't know what it looks like, but somehow I can't get rid of the bloody thing.
Oh, no, but then you did it. What was the other one that Harry put on with you?
Harry put one on during the holidays called Fish Brain. That's $9 a month.
What?
And the bill just keeps on coming through. There's $13 a month for two apps. So I can't get the buggers off.
What do you mean you can't
get them
off?
The kids put them on there.
Delete them out of.
No, I don't know. I can't work it. Like, I've deleted them off the front screen, but they're still there.
I reckon I might be able to do this.
Don't do it while we're on air, but you have a look at my front screen.
Yeah.
Like, does it say Kardashians or does it say Fishbrain any on those two pages? No, but they're still billing me.
Okay, I'll find it.
These are the kids' star things that don't fit. Yeah, the father has to mop up.
Yeah, this I'd love to know what bills have your kids racked up on your behalf? Remember there was the scandal with the Smurf Berries, the Smurf Village game a couple of years ago, and you had to pay for Smurf Berries.
Was that a monthly thing as well?
Yeah, you could keep buying. Do you want some Smurf Berries for your village? And
kids
were just pushing, yep, I'd love some Smurf Berries. And they were racking up hundreds of dollars.
Okay, let's not talk about FIFA coins.
What's a FIFA
coin? Oh, that's the other
coin.
One, FIFA coin.
Explain that.
Ed
you
can
gotta
explain
buy
it.
FIFA coins.
Ed can explain it.
It's like online. It's as big a rip-off as real soccer currency. So you buy money so that you can buy players.
Buy players for your teams.
Yeah. You too can be a Qatari billionaire. So
who would pay for these coins, Robin?
Well, Robin, I won't anymore. I have been burnt before, though. So now that has to become something that they pay for. But what a complete waste of money.
Yeah, what a waste of it. For nothing. You're buying nothing. You're actually buying nothing. It's like real FIFA. You just give money to FIFA and you never see anything back. So Paul's from Stockley. Paul, what bill has your kid racked up?
I've got a 9-year-old boy that plays that game Minecraft.
Oh.
Last Friday I got my credit card statement in because I had my credit card hooked up to the PlayStation Network account. Anyway, I find $350 worth of add-ons.
Mate, what are the add-ons?
I'm talking skin packs, map packs, extra characters, extra swords, extra this, extra that.
Oh, God.
I walked into his room I said, Tristan, I said, what's this? And he's like, what, Dad? What? I said, when did you buy all this Minecraft stuff? I thought it was for free, Dad. I thought it was for free.
One chance, though. That's okay.
Yeah, well, last night at footy training, I made him do three extra laps around the oval, so.
Yeah.
How much was that worth out of the $350?
Just to make him sweat a bit more, sort of thing, was, a satisfaction for me, so, yeah.
Paul, that's a big one, Minecraft. Minecraft just seems, I've got nephews who are about that age, and they just watch YouTube videos of other people building Minecraft.
What?
Do they?
Like forts.
Well, that's better than doing it themselves.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, thanks, Paul.
It's expensive.
I don't know. Christine from Capalaba.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, what was the bill?
Between two of my kids, they've kind of racked up nearly $3,000 worth of toll notices and speeding fines in my name. So,
oh, in your name?
Yeah. Okay. Well, the cars were my name when they first got their cars.
Yeah.
So
I'm living this as well.
So they haven't paid their tolls and that's ticked over, is that right?
That's right, yeah. If you don't pay within 3 days, it goes to over $17. And then they say, that. Yeah, Mum, I'll pay. And then it goes to $165 a bill every time.
Okay, so Christine, that is terrible. What can be done about that? Like if you get hold of the toll company or whoever they are and you say, hey, listen, this is my kids, what happens? Can you get a deal? What goes on?
Nothing. It's the cars in my name. That's it. You pay. That's it.
You know, the worst one is the speeding fines because I'm the same. I bought the cars originally in my name. Now the kids are driving them, la, la, la. They get a speeding fine. There's so much trouble to transfer.
Yes, there is. I've had that issue a number of times because I used to have to have au pairs.
To make them take the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God, it's a pain.
And they get instantly suspicious that you're trying to give it to some German tourist who's leaving the country in like a week.
That's horrible, that one. Okay, Paul from Logan. Is this what bill did your kids rack up?
Oh, I actually did it to my old man. I rang the numbers in the back of his magazines he used to keep in the back shed.
Oh, God.
And that was in the early 90s when it was a landline, and $200 or $300 back then was a lot of money.
0055 numbers?
Nah, 1-300, 1-800, you know, busty bombshells, you know.
Busty bombshells. I will never do this. Can you tell me what happens when you ring that number?
No, you can't.
I want to know.
It's a secret. Yeah, Paul, don't pull down the cone of silence, Paul.
Why? Does some woman get on the phone?
Yeah.
Give it a call and see.
I'm not going to do that.
Oh, Paul, what a lovely idea.
Paul, it'll be on about this time tomorrow, I'm thinking.
Also, Ed, word of warning, I got told watching childbirths like watching your favourite pub burn down, so beware.
Now, I have... Now,
oh, my Paul, God.
Now, Paul, I have heard that.
Oh,
and
my God, people say that, just not out loud.
I haven't said that to my wife yet. I might not, if that's okay, Paul, but thank you for the... thanks for the tip. Mm. Susie's from Redbank Plains. Say, Susie, what was the bill that your kids racked up?
We were away for a weekend with the kids. I got twin boys, and they got up to 4,200 YouTubing on my hotspot of my phone.
Oh,
so we were watching movies. I know, right? Lovely boys. but I was able to fight it with Optus because it's supposed to alert me. So I got down to $350.
Like that.
Keep pushing. Yeah. I wasn't giving up on them. So, but my boys lost their phone for a little while, a very long little while.
What was costing you for YouTube? Like, what was it in YouTube?
The data. It's the use of the data.
The data, yeah. They watch funny videos and you could hear them laughing. I thought they were playing some game, but we know what they were doing now.
Laughing's
wasting
good.
The money. Yeah.
Your money.
My money, yes. people have got to be careful of that, though, particularly going into Easter. If there's no Wi-Fi or no free Wi-Fi or whatever around...
Oh, my God, you're so right.
It's your data that's being used when they go and log on to watch a video or do something else.
Yeah, see, that's why I put prepaid on my kids' phone. So when
that's
it's
clever.
Done, it's
clever.
Done.
That is good. Hold on, one more. What about Kieran? What happened?
How you going, guys?
Yeah, mate.
Hey, mate.
Mate, basically, I went to go to bed and I left my phone on the bench and then I started hearing, like, text message noises. Usually that means that you've gone over your data. And then they charged $10 for an extra gig.
Yeah.
It was going off and off and off and off. And it turned out my 3-year-old had actually taken my phone off the bench, gone to bed, started watching YouTube videos, and then clicked a link. The link was 250-gigabyte download file of, like, a corrupt file. And there was $2,400 worth of extra data that he'd actually used.
3-year-old?
Yeah, I didn't have a lock on my phone, stupidly, so he just got into it, knew what YouTube was on the front screen, jumped in it, was watching some children's songs that he'd been listening to earlier in the day, obviously wanted the collection. The collection cost $2,400, so it was not good. When I got the bill out, I think the bill all up was like $2,600-something.
Did you negotiate out of it?
I did negotiate, but it was still, I think all up, it was still like just over $1,000 I had to pay because they like kept saying that they... Just that the data's used. There's not much you can do about it. Next time, put a lock on it. But I ended up getting it talked down from 2,600 down to like 1,150. So it was better than nothing. But unfortunately, you can't punish the three-year-old because he's got the cutest eyes when he looks at you and says sorry. Yeah. So
and he doesn't understand.
You can't do nothing about it. No, no, but I just remember, yeah, my heart and my throat that morning.
Oh. Man, you're helping other people, though, to just be, like, wary going into this Easter break. Thank you, Karen.
Good on you, Karen.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Have a lock on your phone, everybody. Sounds like YouTube might not be the wisest. Maybe don't leave that one on the front screen either, Robin.
Yeah.
But if these companies are prepared to bargain down that easily, it would be most likely that it's costing them nothing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to test the theory, though.
No, that's right. The markup on data is, you know, it's like a pie at the footy. There's plenty of margin there, you know?
The Real Housewives of Mardo and Ed.
Okay, don't pretend you guys didn't know this was happening. Okay, because you absolutely did, and you agreed to it, and you helped me organise to get your wives.
Hang on. We were pressured into this we were pressured into this. Much so that Marto's basically, off-air's basically said he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, okay.
So we've been pressured into this. That's the truth. Let's be honest.
Okay, but you two haven't heard it yet.
I'm prepared to listen to Ed's.
Of you are already like jacking it up and going, I don't want to do it. And in fact, I have to say, now tell everyone what I said about your wife after I did this interview, Ed.
You were very kind about my wife.
No, she is gorgeous. She is the sweetest, kindest, loveliest human being. And she's much more open about you than you are.
Well, that's not true. It's more that Tiffy's a very gorgeous person. We all know that. But, she's been cornered in a room. And
willingly spoke to me.
I don't know what she's got
to say. So knowing that you two would start to jack up as soon as we started to get close to doing this, I'm going light today, Ed.
Good idea.
Today is safe. Can't guarantee the rest of the week, but today is safe. And I sat by just talking about your beautiful wife and how she looks. Oh. Lovely Tiff, and I'm sitting in front of you and you look so gorgeous and pregnant. Yay, she says. How are you going, by the way?
I'm awesome. I'm finally over the yuck part, the morning sickness, which lasted forever. But now I'm feeling energetic and really loving pregnancies.
Okay, now let's talk about your wonderful husband, Ed. What is his day in the life of Ed Cavalier like? Because we hear him in the mornings and then we kind of all split up, you know, after the show. What happens?
He's very routine, loves coming to work, and then always the gym straight after work. And then it revolves around, what are you doing? And he sort of follows me around for the day, which is cute. So, you know, if I'm working from home, he'll work from home. He'll concentrate on his writing or stuff like that. Or, you know, we'll go for a walk in the afternoon. But he pretty much tries to mash our days together and spend as much time together, which is really sweet. And he's really domestic. So he does the majority of cooking and a lot of the house stuff, and he enjoys that.
So what sort of cook is he? I had no idea.
He's a fantastic cook. So he'll cook anything. He does a mean red sauce, which is gorgeous. Great pasta, just amazing. And he always gets the meats perfect and the fish perfectly cooked, just the way I like it. So I leave him to it. He's in the kitchen.
Does he ever blow out? Does he have a favourite food? What does he do?
Yeah, we both are bad like that. So he loves buffets, and we'll go to a buffet, and it is just, okay, his aim is to get kicked out for eating too much. That's pretty much it. And he's famous within my family, and it's really bad. My family are health and fitness orientated, but we have like a tradition that we all go to a buffet for special events. Easter, for example, we're going to a massive buffet Easter Sunday, and Ed does damage and everyone just sits there and watches him go.
What bad food?
He loves croissants, so it'll be like, he set a record once for 11 in a sitting. He'll try and beat that every time. We were in Bali and we went to a buffet like in a beautiful hotel, and the croissant guy who was handing the croissants out in baskets, he actually stopped coming over to our table because he was like, even he thought it had had enough. But it's like, hey, waving him over.
Did he throw up?
No. He's amazing. He has all these rules with the buffets. No non-delicious fillers. So no bread because it fills you up. No fizzy drinks. It fills you up. No liquids. It fills you up. He has a plan and he goes about it with my brother, who's 18, and my brother-in-law. And they map out a plan. They start with their meats, their roasts, and then they go from there with desserts and pastas and things like that. My sister and I and my mom, my dad, we just sit there going, oh, my God. But that's his favourite thing to do.
You wonder why Sizzler's going out of business.
See?
You've driven them into the ground.
That was actually quite informative for those listening at home. That's all true. Yeah, the barley guy cut me off with the croissants. I thought about complaining, but I thought I'd had 11. And yeah. I've been kicked out of 3 buffets in my life for overeating. One was at a Chinese restaurant downtown. Ooh. They made the mistake of putting up an all-you-can-eat Monday. And a mate and I went down there and they were turning off the lights and they kicked us out and we were banging on the doors saying, just a couple more spring rolls. And then
that's great.
There was one in Bali and I got kicked out of a casino buffet of all places.
Oh, my
that
God.
That is hard to do. That is genuinely hard to
okay,
do.
Okay, see.
Tap on the shoulder, sir, you've had enough. I said, well, I don't think you tell me when I've had enough. I believe I tell me when I've had enough. The other thing I do really well is at Indrapilli, they've got this really nice Chinese place next to the sandwich place, which is what I call all you can stack, which is you only get one plate, right?
Then it becomes physics.
Yeah, the game is to stack as much as you possibly can.
And Jenga of food.
Thank you, Marto. But this is the first thing I'll say. What you do is you get the plate and then around the side of the plate, so along the extremity of it, Marto, you build a secondary wall of rice, which turns the plate into a large bowl or a bucket, if you will.
Anyone with a ute will know that that's what you need to do as well. Build the sides up or a mini skip. They hate that. The bin companies hate that because you build it up with pieces of timber and stuff and then you get extra fill. It's the same theory.
Do you reckon
theory.
That's the most anyone's ever eaten? Ed, you're up there.
Yeah,
you
I'd
are
love to.
I've
never done this actually. I'd like to hear from other people. Who else has had a red hot go at buffets or in just all you can eat places, all you can stack? Where have you given it a real nudge? Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's you.
McDonald's at Taringa. I was a bloke, mate of mine called Chook. Now he ate. There used to be, you know, before the McDonald's restaurant was so extensive, the early days ate the whole menu.
Oh, he ate the board.
Yeah,
and they tried that the other day.
And in those days, that was $49 or something to eat the board, and he pulled it off.
Okay, 133353. We want to talk about if there is anyone who has eaten more than Ed Cavalli. See, I told you it wouldn't hurt.
Where have you had a go at really giving
red
him some,
hot go?
And if that bloke from the Gold Coast with the seafood that ran into the sea,
$620 seafood
wants to
man.
Call in?
I need to clarify just quickly. When you ate 11 croissants, were they the standard size or the mini size?
Nah, normal size.
Yeah, man.
And then one of the normal size. Yeah.
That is so impressive, Daddy.
The best day.
Wake all. Tell us, most you've ever eaten, where was it?
The back in the 90s, the all-you-can-eat dine-in Pizza Hut.
Talk to me, Danny. Danny, that was a belter. Who did you take in there?
We had an entire gridiron team banned for coming back.
What? Which one were you? Which Pizza Hut?
Down at Underwood.
All right, so you pull in there, the red and white checked. didn't they have the red and white checked tablecloths,
yes,
didn't they?
Were.
Yeah. That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, go, Danny.
Went back 2 weeks in a row. The second week, they basically said, yeah, you're not coming in because normal paying customers couldn't get their slice as we're taking a whole pizza each.
That's what you do. So remember, good. How good was the soft serve at that, Danny? Remember you used to sort of hang near the soft serve machine?
Just
to
drink straight from it.
Yeah, there we go. We used to have guys who put their mouths under it. It was disgraceful. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Danny.
Human ice cream cones.
Oh, I reckon there's going to be lots of blokey calls. Angelo of The Gap, tell us about it.
Don't know if you guys remember the old Ribbits on Annerley Road.
With the guy in the frog suit.
Angelo, I'm going to say, there was one at Annerley Road. I reckon there was one on Wardell Street, like over at Ashgrove, or what's that, a Nogra, where the frog used to stand out the front trying to tempt you into the restaurant, correct?
That's the one. Yeah. And it was 1990, all you could eat. We did a 4.5-hour sitting.
Oh. Do you remember what you ate?
Yeah, Angelo.
It was ribs and pasta.
Yeah,
they
man.
That's all they did.
At about the third hour, because they just didn't want. So we had to keep calling the guy over. And I was with my wife, my mate and his wife, and they were just going, what the hell are you guys doing?
You heard when Robin spoke to Tiff, Ed's wife, Tiff described that Ed's careful with liquids. You can't be drinking it at any stage, can you, Angelo?
No, and the secret was to scrape the sauce off the ribs. You could eat a hell of a lot more.
That's your liquid.
Gee, that's Angelo. I never thought of that. Wow. Let's not forget the Sizzler. Is it officially called Toowong, Marta?
Not anymore, it's gone.
Did it go recently? Yeah.
but back in the day, I forgot about that one too. I've been asked to, I was asked to leave there once. The trick with Sizzler was always, some friends and I were shooting something and the whole crew went there. The trick was always when they said, here's some cheesy bread, you hand it back to them and you go, I'm not falling for that, mate.
Yeah.
I'll be off. If you need me, I'll be
soak it up. So true.
That's where we used to go every Thursday night after footy training, that Sizzler there at Toowong.
So sad. It used to have people out the door. I never understood how they went under. It's ridiculous. Paul, tell us, what have you eaten?
Well, it was my dad. Yeah, it was the Sheraton at Noosa. They used to do an all-you-can-eat seafood. So my dad started off with the prawns, the bugs, avoid the deep-fried stuff because that's one of your fillers.
And then he
decided to start on the oysters. He knocked off 100 oysters. He only stopped at 100 because they ran out of oysters. He would have kept going.
100?
Was he sick?
Oysters.
Nah, he never got sick. He could, I mean, I'm pretty good. My brothers are pretty good. And we just sat there in awe watching him devour them.
The master.
The master. I only got to wear 5 dozen oysters and I'd had enough.
Did it impact him at all?
No. I think Mum might have had a good night. I don't know.
But... All right. Well, let's not make any assumptions and talk about your mum.
No. Oh, my Lord. 100 oysters.
I could do this all day. If you want to have fun, go on YouTube and put in Tourists Prawn Buffet.
I've seen some of them.
Robin, you are that nightmare that Ed and I speak about all the time. You are our worst thing that could happen to us when we hop onto a plane. Why? What are you?
I'm a chatter, but not always. Okay, now let me just define this, okay? Because I don't always talk to the people that I sit next to on a plane. I did a fair bit of travelling over the weekend and was in, you know, one city one day and then the next city the next day.
You did out of Melbourne and Sydney.
Yeah, I did. And so I was able to, there was one woman that I kept seeing, like I saw her at the check-in and then I saw her as we were waiting and then
Doesn't mean you need to talk to her.
Well, then she sat next to me and I'm one of these people that believe that if a human is coming into your orbit enough times, there must be something that you need to say to her or him. So I, you know, take those opportunities to have a chat. But
hold on,
I don't do it all the time.
Of course you're
going to
see him at the...
No, but...
Just because you see him at the front there where you're in the queue and then they sit next to you doesn't mean you need to say hello and then your trip's ruined.
I don't chat to someone who doesn't want to be spoken to, but I ended up having two lovely conversations with
people.
Are
you sure you didn't pull their headphones off and go, hi?
What's your name?
Okay, whoever does that, remember?
I'm worried about
There are very ample opportunities to talk to someone and you can gauge whether they're interested or not. But I just think you learn stuff about people that's really interesting. The older guy that I was sitting next to on the way back to Brisbane, you know, his brother lives in Brisbane. He was coming up. He's just going to retire to the Hunter. He's done a hot... Okay.
God, what an amazing individual.
Okay,
what
I'm interested in people.
Hey, did you say the Hunter?
Oh my God.
Do you know the Hunter Mariners?
No, the Hunter Valley.
There, don't they?
Yes.
And coal.
And, you know, he had a daughter with an eating disorder and he'd done a lot of stuff with Lisa Wilkins and I work on the Today Show.
Just trying to tell people you're on TV.
No, I was not.
That's different.
You will never hear me say that. No, I would. Those words will never come out of my
mouth.
Okay, I never do that, but I do chat to people if there's an opportunity to be nice to someone. Just, you know, spread some love around the world. Oh, look at you two. What? You don't ever talk to anyone.
I was on a flight to Perth the other day, actually, because I was on a flight over there. I had to get back. I was so proud of myself when we hopped off. The bloke next to me and I did not say one word to each other in 5 hours. I know, it was so good. I put my shoes on as the plane taxied and just went, I'm happy with you, mate. I'm sure he was happy with me. We didn't have to acknowledge, put the headphones on both of us.
You were
going to
take out the woman in front of you because she was talking too much.
Oh, my God. This blondie in front, Ed. First of all, she thought she knew the guy. Like, I don't know if she was trying to get onto him or what the story was. And he denied that he knew her, but she pushed on. For the first half an hour, I had headphones on. I took them off every once in a while just to see. She was still going at him.
Let's throw it open. I'll give you a couple of quick examples from my life in a moment. 133353. Do you talk to the people sat next to you on a plane? I'll throw this out to trains as well. Do you
public transport in any way, shape, or sort?
Do you feel the need, if you're at the footy and you're sitting next to people, you know you've got your friend on one side and there's somebody else on the other
random.
Side? Yep, just someone you don't know. Do you feel the need? to engage strangers. That
unless
you
it's to say sorry for elbowing them or spilling something on them.
No.
Don't engage.
Okay, let's do a phone poll because I would be very interested in these statistics. Do you talk to someone like a stranger who is next to you for whatever reason?
Love it. I'm double headphoner.
Actually, you are too. You walk onto the plane with them. I at least take the Qantas ones and then put them on.
Dude, I am double-ended the whole time. Mm. Ben is from Brackenridge. Ben, so let's go first. Talk or not talk, mate?
Don't talk.
Yeah, how long have you lasted?
14 hours, Sydney to LA. Me, the missus, I was in the window seat, she was in the middle, this guy was in the aisle seat. I only ever acknowledged him whenever we had to get out and go to the toilet.
Mm. Yeah, well done, Ben. No harm. I mean, you didn't need to know anything about that guy's life, did you?
No, well, this was our first overseas trip together, so we just wanted to get there and, you know, just sleep in quiet and comfort.
Mm. Beautiful.
It's kind of different if you're travelling with someone, I will say, because you'll talk to them.
Okay, Robin, you're
if you know
back
the person's all right. If you know the person, that's fine.
Okay,
can I throw one at you? This is how dedicated I am.
Okay.
I got on a plane, and, you know, I live at the airport. I got on a plane, and I sit down, Mardo, and I'm sitting next to me was Brendan Julian. Now,
BJ.
He is a Fox Sports cricket commentator, Robin. He is a guy, hangs out with Alan Border.
He's taller than Ed.
And he turned to me, exactly, and our knees were both hitting the seat in front of us, and he said, not much leg room. And I said, yeah, no, not much leg room. Now, Robin, that's an opening. Now, there's nothing I want to do more than bore someone to death with my theories about cricket. There's nothing I want to do more.
And you didn't.
And I left him alone.
That's huge.
That's so silly. That is cutting off your nose to spite your face. Yes, it is.
He had a newspaper, and I thought, mate,
that's discipline. You're a master.
Thank you, buddy.
You know, you may have learned something you could never, ever learn from anyone else.
Sue from Wynnum, I bet you talk on the plane.
I do. I do. I'm like Robin.
Can you send your photo through just in case I ever see you?
Like Robin said, you can always gauge who wants to talk and who doesn't. So, it's nice to have a conversation and it makes the trip go faster. And, I'm for you, Robin. Good on you.
I think this is going to go down gender lines, to be quite honest with you. I think that a lot more women will talk to other passengers than blokes will. But let's see. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Sue. She sounds so nice.
I know. She was nice.
Nice.
Melinda of Aspley.
I got a paper to read and stuff.
Melinda, help me here. Do you talk on plans?
Yes, I do.
I bet you do.
Once again, only when people are interested. But in Copenhagen, when I flew there, I got to chat to the lady and she actually ended up taking me to my hotel afterwards. In London, I met a lovely guy on the train and my son and I ended up showing him around London and I'm still in touch with him on Facebook. So I've met some amazing people on the transport.
What's the signal? Person. If I don't want to talk to you, what's the signal?
Oh, just normally a blunt answer. We say, hi, how are you? And they go, good, and look down.
That's it. We get it. We get it, don't we, Melinda? We don't want to talk to people who don't want to talk to us.
That's it.
Yeah.
If I had the headphones on, it's just you're not going to pull them
nod.
Off.
I'll still say hello.
What? Hang on, Melinda. I'm sitting next to you on a plane. I've got my headphones in. You'd still say hello to me.
Well, that's polite, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Melinda.
Wait. But if you say hello, I've seen your lips move. So I'm going to go, oh god, I just took my headphones. What?
Oh, stop it.
And you
it.
Go, hello. Oh god. Now listen, headphones.
Viva la chatting revolution, Melinda. Keep going.
What nice person.
Have you ever had a trip on the chip? Like, what was the one? Go back to Melinda if you don't mind. What was the Copenhagen thing again? I stopped listening. Melinda?
Oh, yeah, I went there and had a nice chat with the lady.
Yeah.
And then her partner ended up taking me to the hotel and helping me up to my bag, up to my room with my bag.
That could have gone anywhere, Melinda. Be careful.
Now he's worried about you, Melinda. He's gone from worried.
Yeah, you start talking to strange
Melinda.
Men.
And come on, Lauren. Lauren of Kalanga, do you chat?
Not really. I'm Mudda, you're probably going to love me, but I actually travel quite a bit for rugby union.
Yeah.
So
I know who you are. You're a Crusaders fan. I know who you are. Yeah, it's right, Lauren.
Yeah. So I don't really talk. I have a lot of work to do with my YouTube blog, so I just sit down, do my work, and that's it.
I can't tell you how happy I am, Lauren, when I sit down next to someone and the first thing they do is take out a laptop and then take out a set of headphones. I just think, oh, this is what being a human is all about.
Eyes to the front.
Ignoring someone with an electronic machine in front of you. Oh. Beautiful.
Lauren, well done you. You've made the boys very happy. Mm. And they'll look out for you now so that they can sit next to you.
Give us some, come on, Brendan, there's heaps of people calling in. Give us some stats,
buddy. We do have the results. Robin Bailey, you are severely in the minority. 80% of people say, do not talk, shut up, just want to get there.
I will not talk to you if you don't want to talk. Let us make this very clear. But I am one person that if there is an engagement, I will go there and I will always learn something I didn't know.
She will take it.
As my middle son always says, Mum, use up your words on other people.
Are you still talking?
Yes.
Marto Ed and Robin.
Headphones on.
The new Triple M.
Big talk around the country is on housing affordability as we head towards the budget. And the Treasurer, Scott Morrison, is doing his thing where he drops hints. Oh, I might do this. Oh, and I might do that. But to join Marto, you want to talk about this.
Did you hear this one? This is him yesterday afternoon.
There are people staying in their homes at the moment who are not prepared to downsize because if they choose to downsize, the money that comes in from that sale will mean that they'll lose their pension.
So he's saying old people don't leave their homes, so there's not enough houses around. Yeah, that's one. Well, it is understandable, but the other one is Chinese investors. They're snapping everything up and there's not enough houses for Australians who live here.
Let's go to it straight away, our favourite money man. It is Channel 9's expert, Ross Greenwood. G'day, Ross.
Hello there. How's it going?
We don't know. We think it's going badly. We think people are going to lose their pension and no one can buy a house. Is that accurate?
So the dilemma right now is you've got a situation whereby house prices in some cities right now are unaffordable. We know this. It's actually happening as we speak, and especially for younger home buyers. So first home buyers in the total market would normally be around about 25% in the past of all buyers of houses. Right now, they're less than 10%. So in other words, first home buyers can't get into the market, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, but in Brisbane increasingly as well. So then the second thing is some first home buyers decide rather than buying a first home, they'll simply buy an investment property and do it that way. The problem is, as you talk about, foreign buyers, so Chinese buyers, superannuation funds and other investors are buying up a lot of, in particular, apartments, but also houses. And that's pushing the prices out of reach of those young home buyers who are struggling to get their deposit for the home. Then the next part of it is some people say, well, why don't we dip into our superannuation? Problem is, there's just not enough money to go around, because if you dip into superannuation, you've got less at the end of your working life. But there's another issue. If there's not enough houses being built, that's a problem. But then if older people are sitting on houses because they're worried that if they downsize, what will happen is that they will lose their pension, they hang on to their houses for longer, so you don't get those properties hitting the market. If investors are worried that they won't sell, they're going to pay stamp duty, or they're going to pay capital gains tax, they hang on to the house for longer. Overseas buyers hang on to the houses for longer because, of course, they're there as an insurance policy in case something goes wrong in China. So the problem is right now that we've got plenty of houses. The fact is that people just don't want to sell them for different reasons.
Ross, I get the impression that Sydney people are now going, the bubble might burst, it's time to sell the house, and then they'll have a look at Brisbane and boost. I've seen this happen before, I reckon, 15 years ago. Is this possible that them selling out of Sydney to take their money, they will then put it into Brisbane and buy houses up here and it'll help our market?
Well, if they're retiring, sure, because they could certainly come to Brisbane. If there's work in Brisbane, people will come there, there's no doubt. People will go up the coast when they retire. People go into country areas when they retire. Because what they realise is they can sell a house in Melbourne or Sydney and they can afford a house in another part of Australia and still have plenty of money left over to live on. But what Scott Morrison's suggesting is if a person gets to retirement years and basically sells their home and downsizes, they could put that spare money, the profit, if you like, into their superannuation fund. And as a result of that, could live off that money for longer. Only question I would have between you and me is, given the governments and various governments have changed superannuation rules so many times and so often, how confident am I in dropping that spare cash from my house into my super fund that they won't change the rules down the track again and make it harder for me to get my hands on that cash if I actually want it?
Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's Money Man, concise as always. We always are finished with a one word answer question. Ross Greenwood, is it time for me to put all of my money, all the money I've got, into an apartment off the plan that I saw they're building in Perth?
Maybe. That's maybe.
Oh, he's going for letters.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Moving to Perth.
Because, and I'll give you a slightly longer answer here, because
Moody's and CoreLogic say, even though it's had big falls, that the Perth property market is potentially over the next 4 or 5 years the best value property market in Australia. Booyah. And I kind of concur with that. If Perth picks up, it's going to happen in a very big, big hurry.
A maybe is as good as a yes with my one word to answer questions. Ross Greenwood, always a pleasure. Thanks, mate.
Just been running backwards and forwards from the microwave, preparing a whole pile of cyclone pies from Yatla Pies. Picked up my two nephews who've come up from Sydney with my sister, and I figured, hey, here's a cool thing to do on a Monday afternoon, and that is go down and visit Yatla Pies and just check out for myself after March 31 and they were flooded. Exactly what's happened.
I bet you wouldn't even know that the flood went through there, would you?
Oh, you can see some of the walls need repainting and they've got photos up everywhere. But the thing that was amazing, they opened their doors for the first time yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
And there were just people everywhere. So I grabbed Susan Porter, who's the owner's daughter and the manager of Yatla Pies, and we had a chat.
Okay, Susan, it's 3:15. We spoke to you at what, 7 o'clock when you're on your way into Yatla Pies and you sounded tired then. How are you going?
We are exhausted. Thank you for all the support with the customers just kept rolling in today, ordering those Cyclone Debbie pies. It was just wonderful to see. Yes, I think it's been very successful.
But it's been a massive 10 days for you. I mean, what's happened since the 31st of March? Did you realise that you were going to go under?
We didn't think it would take the shop, but as we looked at the bomb sites and realised high tide was still to come, we knew we were in trouble.
What's been awesome though, as we walked in here and I brought my kids and my nephews and my sister, is that there's been a queue out the door and the girls behind the counter said to me, oh, it's good you come at a downtime. Have you literally just been selling pies all day?
We have been selling so many pies all day. It's just been fantastic to see the local community and the wider community bring their whole families down.
Okay, so how many pies do you reckon you've sold today?
I'd be thinking we're over the 3,000 mark right now.
And is that a good day?
That is becoming a good day.
But all your cabinets are full. It's not just the pies, you've got the caramel pies, you've got the donuts. Like, you are back into full production, aren't you?
We are back into full production with some very tired bakers.
Well, I mean, I hope you continue selling pies, but more importantly, Susan, I hope you get some sleep.
I'm with you on the sleep.
Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, geez.
Isn't she sweet?
She sounded exhausted.
She is exhausted, and they had so many stuff in there. But more importantly, how was the cyclone pie, which has pineapple on or infused through it?
I've never had a pie with pineapple before.
What'd you think?
Oh, bloody God. That was so heavy. There was so much stuff in that.
Yeah,
the start. The first thing you did is you, which I really respected, is you threw away the shackles of the knife and fork. And you said, it's too strong for knife and fork.
Structural integrity is an important part. I was able to take away the foil and not use knife and fork. It just held together magnificently. Pineapple. Who would have thought?
They need our support. So they reckon 3,000 up to 5,000 pies were sold yesterday.
Oh, well, wow. That's a beauty.
Get out there. They're back. They're back in business. Yatla Pies, go buy one. The Cyclone
Debbie pie. Side of the box here, 7 a.m. So if you pull over while you're driving a Brizzy, just eat it in your lap as you come in.
You said it, brother.
Sad news. One of the great comedians in Australia and New Zealand, John Clarke, passed away yesterday. Anyone remembers the Games TV series about the lead up to the Sydney Games?
Wasn't he good in that?
He was great.
He was great. My old man used to have cassettes of Fred Dagg and thought he'd discovered this new comedian. This is back in the 70s. That's what we used to play at home. Some Kiwi comedian, and he was so good.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
When did he come to Australia? Mid-70s?
Yeah, that's right. People will know him when they do those, you know, the sort of satirical interviews where him and Brian Dawe, where John Clarke will play, you know, he'll play the environment minister or whoever it is, but always just good writing. Just good writing and just funny. Funny and clever and all those things, you know. One of the good ones, Marto.
Did you see Denton last night talking about him? And he referred to those political satire, and a lot of people don't get them. And often you've got to do impersonations. Denton talked about him and said, how good was John Clarke?
I think the fact that John chose to impersonate people by not impersonating them at all was perhaps the single greatest act of brilliance he ever did, because by simply forcing you to focus on the words rather than whether or not he looked or sounded like Bob Hawke, it made you explore the logic, or in John's case, the complete illogic of their position.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was
brilliant.
I remember he had a character. I think once at one point he was talking about the internet, and his character's name was Wesley Broadband.
He was on a current affair for sort of 6 or 7 years Friday.
He's been on ABC for the last few years. Actually, Denton made this observation too, and it's so true.
Oh no, we've got a tribute to John Clarke. That we've put together.
We grew up with him on our TV screens as part of the comedy duo Clark and Dore.
Your name is Lars?
My name is Lars, yes, good evening.
Surname Lars?
My surname?
Yep.
Tortoise.
And comedian John Clarke has sadly passed away at the age of 68.
What is it called when you say something you know to be false?
A policy?
No, not quite.
A reform? Is it a reform? Much needed and long overdue economic reform?
No. I'm sorry, Lars. It's a lie.
He was born in New Zealand, but then moved to Australia, and like many great Kiwis, we adopted him as our own.
Now, Lars, if you promised you were going to do something, then you did the opposite, what would you be?
Prime Minister, right? In no time.
No, you'd be a complete...
Treasurer. You'd be a complete treasurer.
No. You'd be a complete... liar.
He was a screenwriter and actor, starring and writing in some of Australia's best-known comedies at the movies and on television. But he'll always be best known for taking the piss out of politicians on the ABC's 7:30 report.
It's like all cats are animals, all swans are birds, all birds are cats. It's pretty obvious.
All birds are cats.
Well, you know, some birds are cats.
Some birds are cats?
Yes. For example, the owl is often regarded as the cat of the air, Brian.
They're called the cat of the air because they're not cats. They're owls.
They are owls, Brian, but maybe some of them think they're cats.
Why would an owl think it's a cat?
That's a very good question, Brian. You'd need to go and speak to some owls.
I don't want to speak to owls.
Well, look, if you're not prepared to do the research, Brian, why make the statement in the first place?
I didn't make the statement. You did.
You're being obtuse.
Rest in peace, John Clarke. And thanks for the laughs.